Dan, how'd you meet your wife?
I met her at a party that like a friend's party they throw every year in Wisconsin
Okay.
that turns into a pub crawl.
So the old school traditional
Yes,
in
friend of a
person
friend.
in
Yeah.
person way. So, all right, let me get into this here. This is a study from the Journal of Science Advances. And this, everyone's doing the dating thing online, right? The study described a, quote, hierarchy of desirability. And that got my attention. The old hierarchy of desirability in the messaging tactics of online daters. It also found that both men and women messaged potential partners who were on average 25% more attractive than they were. Now, how do they figure that out, right? I used to do something along the lines of stand in front of the mirror with girlfriends in the past and both look in the mirror and say, who's getting the better end of the deal here? And she looked at me in utter horror. I'm like, nah, seriously, who's getting the better? You know, what are we doing here? Who's one up? Who's one down? I was not about mutuality. Someone had to be winning the deal. A little frightening, but that's a true story. So here we go. Scientists looked at age, ethnicity, education of the users, but the main thing they did, they quantified the messages exchanged through the service. So desirability was defined by the number of messages someone received, as well as the desirability of the people sending those messages. So if you were getting a ton of messages, then by this study, they were saying that person is super desirable. They weren't like looking at some picture and like, she's really hot and he's not, or he's super good looking. And they were just looking at it. If you're getting a ton of messages, that means you're a star. So there's an Elizabeth Birch who was the lead author of the study, and she's a sociologist at the University of Michigan. And she says, quote, there are so many folk theories about dating, about what the rules of dating and the strategies that people have. It hit us like, oh my God, we can see if this is actually working. People in dating have all the strategies, like you don't call at 10 p.m. on a Friday night, but we don't know if that actually matters. These things are knowable. They are not just things you can speculate about with your friends. So the point here is that, well, first of all, we all like, I think dating up is a definite thing, right? I mean, there are zillion songs out of there like "She's Out of My League," "That's the Kind of Girl I Need," Griffin House, my guy sings that one, right there. I mean, that's how we. It's like you're chasing after something to validate yourself. Let's do an amateur psychology hour here. 312-981-7200. I'd like to hear stories of. A, people who, you know, I'd like to know just period how you met your spouse and or girlfriend, boyfriend, period. And B, like, were you in your mind chasing? Were you thinking, oh my God, that person would never go out with me, and that's why you went after him? Like in my younger years, I was all about the chase. Not that I'm not chasing right now too, but people love to, I don't, for lack of a better way of putting it, is get something that they don't think is attainable. Esmeralda, who chased after who in your relationship?
A mutual chasing?
Well, yeah, was it a mutual chasing? That's so beautiful.
I guess, yeah, because I mean, neither of us, I don't think either of us was like, oh, ugh. You know, we didn't have us. It was a mutual.
Wait,
Well, you know, because I always assume a chase is because somebody's not that into it, so you gotta kind of go after them.
right. But how'd you guys meet?
Oh, we met at a comedy show.
Oh, okay. Another traditional nice way. But did you feel like he was out of your league?
Oh, God, no. That's funny.
So did you feel like you were
No.
doing him a favor?
No, I didn't think I was doing him a favor, but I wouldn't say he was out of my league.
Okay. Okay. Do you think that he thought that?
I would say yes.
Really?
I don't know. I'm going to assume. He's very self-deprecating, so he probably thought, yeah.
Right.
I was out of his league.
Like, did he bring you a lot of flowers at the start?
No.
Try to...
I'm not a big flower person, so...
Did he bring you a lot of chicken at the start?
Yeah. Lots of fried chicken. Right.
Well, how is your chicken these days, by the way?
It's delicious.
Oh, yeah. Weren't you going to bring that in?
Nope.
That never happened?
No.
312-981-7200. The scientists measured the number of words per initial message as well. Like, do you think it's better if you're dating online to send a nice, like, solid, hearty response, or do you think it's better if you just are super brief? Dan, I know you, did you read this piece? So you know the answer.
I do know the answer to this, yes.
Esmeralda, a nice, hearty thing, or just like a one word? What do you think is better?
Well, most people, and when I was using those apps, I would just be like, hey, how's it going? And people are like, I need more than that. And it's like, what?
See?
I'm just saying hello to you. Goodness.
The study here says that the one word hey or hi, like a lot of eyes, that's good enough. They don't, they're either in or they're out.
Well, what? Yeah. I think it's, you know, if you're attracted to them, you see them and you go, oh, yeah, you're going to talk to them.
I like the O. I like getting an O in here.
I think if you start making excuses that you need them to entice you somehow, and it's like, well, then you're not really into them. So
if I was trying to date up on an app, I would write, you know, War and Peace. I would try to be so funny and yet also prove that I had a good heart all at the same time. Should have just stuck with the hey. Hey, David, what's up? Welcome to WGN. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, I went to a dating service.
Yeah?
And
it's just lunch?
I only had one response, and I was in it for about 6 months. I would be checking it every day, and I would go through the list and pick out the females and send out messages and that.
Yeah?
And I only got one response, and I married her. That was 21 years ago.
Aw. Well, you sound like a great catch, David. 21 years ago, huh?
Yeah, she said that she got about 20 offers a day to go out on dates, and so obviously I moved up.
Why did she pick you, David? What did you do right?
Well, she said she kind of felt sorry for me because I was sounding so nervous because a voice thing that you'd call in and it would ask you a question and you'd answer a question. And she said I sound so nervous that she felt sorry for me. And she figured she'd give me a call and see how things went. And our first date was awful because she was nervous and I was nervous. And I asked her why our date was so nervous. She said, I don't know. And I said, let's go to the second one. And right now we're on our sixth date. And that was 21 years ago.
You're not taking her out too often now that you're married, David?
Well, you know, after we moved in together, you know, it's kind of like things just kind of stay together.
Netflix,
you know,
and chill?
So, yeah, we haven't been apart very often.
Well, what do you guys do for fun?
We watch movies. We,
yeah?
We still go out to dates, and we have our weekly date night. And we go out and do things.
There you go. Where was your last date night? What'd you do?
Went to Rock Hut and went fishing. And went camping.
David, that's a beautiful story. I love that you were both nervous. It sounds like the way you put it was always like she took pity on you, David. I don't think that was the case. I think that she just saw a really good-hearted David, and she was attracted to that. What do you think of that?
Well, I think that's pretty true because, you know, we talked on the phone for about a month before we actually met, so we got to know each other really well. So I was able to fit into her criteria and of what she was looking for, and I fit, so... We went on a date, and we went on a second date, and third date, we went to the zoo, and we haven't been apart since.
Is she the most important person in your life?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing. All right. Hey, David, congratulations. Thanks for sharing.
Yep, I figured you'd want to hear something amusing.
I absolutely did. Thank you. Well put, David. That was amusing, very, very much so. Thanks so much.
Yep, bye.
All right, have a good night. I love the overnight. I really, really, really love the overnight. Thank you for calling, David. All right, I got to take a quick timeout. 720 WGN.
She's out of my league, and that's the kind of girl I need. I am the underdog, but I'm about to take the lead.
Now that's why Dan Shugru is just the greatest to work with. He'll pull out a Griffin House when I reference it. It's my guy Griffin House. He's coming. He's playing in like Lake Forest in October. GriffinHouseMusic.com. One of my favorites. I mean, he's doing phenomenal for himself. The guy's touring all over the place. But I feel like he should be on like a Tom Petty level in his prime, and he hasn't quite hit it. And I've done some podcasts with Griffin. He's a great guy. But that's one of his songs there. She's out of my league. That's the kind of girl I need. Okay. Couple things from this study before we move on. Some are what you would think. Older women are less desirable, while older men are more so. So the older guy has the edge on the older woman. That's not a surprise to anyone, I don't think. This is kind of not surprising either. Postgraduate education is associated with decreased desirability among women. I.e., if you're super smart, us men get intimidated by you. That's how I'm reading that one. Women's desirability peaked at the youngest age possible to joining dating app. That's 18. And declined until age 60. Men's desirability increased until 50. We actually get more attractive, dateable, likable, because we're men and we don't mature until we're 90, at least in my case. And so desirability continues to go up until 50. And then they finish up. It's important to know, particularly for everyone who's not an 18-year-old woman or middle-aged white man, that the study results were based on averages, and there is a wide range in what people are looking for in a date. They just try to soften the blow there. Look, if you're an old, that does it. Just because you're an older woman doesn't mean that there's not plenty of men that would like to date you. There absolutely are, and yes, a million other things there for if you're a young guy who's got it all together, you got a chance to. How old were you when you got married, Dan?
I was 30.
Oh, so you were like right in the sweet spot.
Right.
Yeah. Esmeralda, you going to get married over there? What do you got?
Nah.
Never?
My wife asks me all the time. She's like, Esmeralda and V going to get married? I'm like, they might end up common law, but I don't see them as the...
Yeah. I don't see the point.
So you guys, you're not... I don't want to get too personal here.
I don't see. I mean, it would be such a hassle.
Really? Don't you want the ceremony and the veil and the whole thing?
Not really.
That's a $64,000 question. How about you, Mark? I know it's
Stop deflecting.
If, you know, not saying this will happen, but if it were to progress to that point, are you guys marriage or are you guys just, hey, we're good where we are?
Yeah, you got to go the distance. I'm warming up to it as I'm about to turn 45 years old on Saturday. Which, that's another whole topic. Like, at 45...
Did you just scare yourself?
Yes. Yes, I did. At 45, like, that's, like, officially, I'm sort of, like, on the back nine. Like, average age is, what, 78, 79? Added my...
For what?
Just life expectancy. At 45, like, I'm thinking, like, I'm trying to be kind to myself. I'll make it to 90. My dad's 92. Knock on wood, I eat better than my dad. I work out more than my dad. And you would think that I would...
Go to tennis camps.
I go to tennis camps.
Talk to spiders.
Right. I mean, I got a lot going for me here. I would think, like, I would at least, like, let's just say I can make it to 90. But even if I make it to 90, like, I'm officially on the back nine. I mean, that's... Maybe we could kick off the 2 o'clock hour with that one. 312-981-7200. How do we handle the aging process? Do I need a break before that news? I'm sorry. Vic, we're going to be a second late, but we'll get to you. I promise. Quick timeout in the news, 720 WGN. We were talking about dating up and dating out of your league, and the rumor on the street is that Vic Vaughn has a story that he can relate about dating up. Vic, is this true?
Yeah, I think it applies here with this conversation you're having. Jeannie and I met on Match.com.
Okay.
And I had seen her picture on the site, but I didn't contact her. I thought she was beautiful. She contacted me, and I was shocked.
Vic!
Yeah.
Go,
so
Vic.
I was shocked. But I played a little hard to get. I wanted to tell this story because we think it's funny. Her and I laugh about it now. But I initially responded with a message that I explained to her. It's very short, and I explained to her that... that I set a rule with myself when I got on this website, and she's outside my 50-mile radius max that I gave myself. She was living in Racine, Wisconsin.
Uh-huh.
But it worked, I guess, because she wrote back, and she kept writing back, and I kept responding, but it was all a ploy, all a plan, and it worked.
So if she wasn't, let's just get all the cards on the table here. If she wasn't super hot, you would have ruled out Racine. But since she was, you were willing to find out if there was something more there?
I probably would have went to Green Bay for her. But little did she know that, yeah.
Okay. Well, she does now, Vic. That's beautiful. How long y'all been together?
Yeah, we're going on 6 years.
Oh, my God.
It kind of worked out.
I would say so. And let's not bury the lead here. You're a very attractive man, Vic Vaughn. Look at you.
Oh, really?
I mean, Dan, right? I mean, how good?
I mean, that beard alone.
Well,
right?
Thank you, guys. Appreciate that.
Yeah. I mean, Esmeralda, is that uncomfortable for you?
No. Oh, yeah, no.
He was talking to me, Vic.
No. Let's not have Esmeralda comment on my looks.
Okay, fine. I don't want to go too far.
He's a troll.
I'm just, you know.
It's a mask he wears, guys.
There you go.
He takes it off in the newsroom.
I'm the fill-in here. I don't want to make things uncomfortable for the crew that's here every night. Some people texting in on their dating lives. 773, met at my grandmother's wake. Married a year later, he chased me. 773, you should call in. I'd like to hear that story in more detail than just your text. That's fantastic. I mean, that's what happens at a wake, right? You're there to pay respects and all, but, you know, people end up having a couple drinks. Everyone's in a, you know, I'm a good person. I'm at this wake. I really care. So the hearts are open. That doesn't shock me, 773. Congratulations. Let's see here. Hi, Mark and everyone. Just asking how Arnold is after all this time. Arnold the Duck, my stuffed animal, is great. Thank you for asking. He now has two sisters in Aku, the turtle, who was purchased in Cancun, coming back from Playa del Carmen in the Cancun airport. Outstanding turtle, Aku, always friendly. And we
wait. You have a beach in Mexico named after you?
Well, I mean, Akumal is a town in Mexico where we went. Chelsea and I went swimming with the turtles.
Isn't it gorgeous there?
It's very pretty.
Yeah,
and swimming with turtles is incredibly cool. Like I mean, just beautiful, beautiful animals, and you're in there in the salt water and the whole thing. It was super cool. We had a Of course, being the novices that we are, and I'm a bad swimmer too, we had a guide with us, so we had the life jackets on, and there was a rope, and we were getting pulled around, and there's like, look down, you know, point and look down there, and there's, you know, turtles hanging out on the sea floor. Is that how they would say it accurately here, Dan? You with me?
Sure.
Right. That'll work. It was cool. And so we wanted to, you know, that was a special moment in the trip going to Akumal, so we named our stuffed animal turtle Aku. Great turtle. And then we were just up at Boyne Mountain, but we went to Mackinac Island, which was one of the creepier experiences that I've had. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Get Out.
Really?
Oh my God. 312-981-7200. Beautiful in theory. You take a ferry over there. But when I got to the Grand Hotel, which is on Mackinac Island, $500 a night place, and I mean, we had to pay $10 just to go in and like see the lobby,
right?
Which I did not want to do, but I was forced to do. But so, I just let's put it this way: the island lacked in diversity. I'll say it like that, and it was just creepy. And they don't have they don't have motorized vehicles up there, which is cool. Like, you're on this island that you can't drive a car. That's awesome. That's, you know, unique, whatnot. But I didn't like the way they were treating the horses. I just, you know, you got a lot of people, most people bike on the island, but there's also carriage rides going on. And I mean, these horses, they're foaming at the mouth and looking miserable. And it did not sit well with me. Boyne Mountain, incredible. Mackinac, I went as a kid. I didn't have the same, you know, I loved it as a kid, but I did not exactly appreciate it. How did we get over there? I have no idea what just happened. Oh, yeah. So anyway, we picked up, but because of the horses, we picked up Seabiscuit, who was our third animal purchased on Mackinac. Now we have a horse, a turtle, and a duck who all like to, you know, they're great support of the bed.
Quite a menagerie.
Right. Are you proud of me, Esmeralda? What do you think? We got Seabiscuit, we got Aku, we got Arnold.
That's nice. Building a family.
We're building a family. It's the family is there. Don't forget Blanky, who's also you know. Do you keep your Blanky from childhood? Do you still have that?
My Blanky was a reusable diaper.
Oh my God.
So I think it's in a drawer somewhere at my mom's house.
You still
have keeps everything.
You have a reusable diaper.
Yeah, my mom, she didn't use disposables on me.
Oh my God.
So we had a bunch of reusable diapers.
That's amazing that's still around. Your mom is a very thorough cleaner, I take it.
Yeah. Well, you know, they're all white, so you just bleach them.
Just bleach them out, right. Okay. That's a question for the old gallery here. 312-981-7200. Do you still have your blankie from your childhood that you sleep with? Anybody out there? I would love to know. 312-981-7200. 708. Met my husband on a blind double date that I was dragged on. After saying hello, I told my friend I was going to marry him. So I guess it was less chasing than just knowing better than he did, which is still generally the case. He figured it out eventually. As far as looks go, I got the better end of the deal. He is an absurdly attractive former model. Not the reason I married him, though. I don't know if I believe you. But looks can only count for a little bit. I get it. 773, who texted in earlier, who met at the grandmother's wake, says she's been married for 48 years. You go, 773. Congratulations. That's awesome. You want me to take a break then? Okay.
We have an interesting story from Elizabeth. We'll get to after the break.
Okay. Elizabeth, hang in there. We'll talk to you in 2 minutes on 720 WGN. 312-981-7200. Having a conversation here on 720 WGN that includes dating and my stuffed animals. And everything else here. Insulted the new employee from the 630 on the text line, 312-981-7200. From the 630, insulted the new employee terribly about her weight. My attempts to apologize worked. Going on 21 years. Jerry in Aurora. Way to go, Jerry. Sounds like, so you made fun of somebody for their weight and you ended up marrying them. That is probably not a story that's been duplicated a million times. Let me, as promised here, Elizabeth apparently has a great story about how she met. Somehow, so I'm getting feedback here. Elizabeth?
Yes? Hi.
Good morning. Where are you calling from, Elizabeth?
Riverside. I lived here 62 years.
Okay. Let's hear your story.
I was living in the little village, and I had dated someone, and he jilted me after four and a half years, married somebody else, and I was going to a White Sox game with a girlfriend, and this car stops, and it was a local butcher delivering stuff, and she knew him, and he asked me for my telephone number. I said, sure, okay, what the hell, right? So he came, hair parted in the middle, which I hate, red bow tie, which I just, and an orchid, which means hell. I had a Latin teacher who, you know.
You didn't like the hair part?
No, I did not like hair. And he had a big head of hair, too. I thought, this is going to be some date. Well, you know where he took me? The Edgewater Beach Hotel.
Ooh. First date to the hotel, huh?
No. They had a dance floor.
Ah.
on the sand. It was the place to go. This was back in the early 50s. So I thought, oh, well, I'm going to be honest with this guy. I said, listen, I'm not a virgin. I was jilted. He got married. And in his pocket, he pulls out his hand and shows me an engagement ring. He says she gave it back to me.
Wait,
and
what?
I looked. He said she gave it back to me. His intended was didn't want to marry him anymore. And he looked at me and he says, you know what? So we were destined for each other. He says, we'll know how to make it work. And we did for 62 years.
Wait a second here. On your first date, he whipped out a ring?
He did. Because I had told him, you know, at that time, you were supposed to be a virgin when you were going out, unless you married the guy.
I don't know if that's true.
Well, back in the early 50s.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Listen, when I went to was teaching school, if you were 5 months pregnant, you had to stay home, and you had to stay home with that baby until it was at least 2 years old, believe it or not.
Yeah, but I think people back in that era got a little more frisky than you guys acknowledge.
Well, anyway, after our third child was 2 months old, and the other two were 2.5 and 5, his pituitary gland had been moved over, and he was suffering seizures. And we thought it was a brain tumor, but it was a malformation in his brain. And so I took care of him for 50 years. I told him he couldn't die on me. He had helped me raise these kids. And he was a good soul. He was wonderful.
Aw. That's beautiful.
Thank you. There's always somebody out there for you.
Absolutely. Thanks, Elizabeth. Thanks for sharing.
Good luck.
Thank you. I feel like I just got left out on the pier by myself. Good luck. That was a nice story. I don't know. Were they hearing the reverb, or was that just me hearing it?
We're having problems with line one, so that's happened a few times recently.
The way it goes. New studio. By the way, how are you guys enjoying the new digs?
You know, it's nice. You know, it's weird having modern day equipment, you know, after working in the tower for so long. So, but, you know.
Esmeralda, you liking the new scene here, or you don't worry, management's not listening. What do you got?
I don't really, you know, there's a microphone, and I got a computer, and I'm good.
Right. You can do your job, bottom line.
Right.
People are texting here, Esmeralda, wondering if you're going to get married.
No.
Ask Esme if her boyfriend asked her to marry him, would she say no?
I'd say no. He feels the same way, so.
Okay. So you guys
it's
are
a mutual. It's yeah.
You're a match made in heaven.
Thanks.
312-981-7200. 630, I lied and told my future that, I don't know if this, I gotta read that through in the break here. It's a little, not sure where you're going there, Jerry and Aurora.
Although that last call, I was telling Vic how crazy people used to meet. I mean, I'm sure people have stories like that, but her car breaks down, she's going to a baseball game. What'd she say, the butcher?
Yeah, it was hard to follow the whole thing.
That her girlfriend knew, yeah. And it's like, what? He helps us, and then he asks for my number. It's like it's always these like very crazy stories, which I just think nowadays.
Well, 708, we met when our cars were next to each other at a red light in 1974. We got married in 79, 40
what?
Years next June. Four kids, five
me?
Grandkids.
I just feel like people aren't as brazen, I guess, or more outgoing to look over and be like, hey, lady,
my
can I
grandma,
get your number?
My grandma and grandpa met. When they were both on a dance floor. My grandma's ring fell off her finger. My grandpa put it back on and said, with this ring, I thee wed.
Are you kidding me?
No.
Jeez.
That's how my grandparents met.
And then your grandma just turned into a puddle.
Yeah.
And went, oh my gosh.
And eight kids and ex.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, 33 grandkids later.
Yeah. My parents met at the Aragon.
33 grandkids?
That's crazy.
Your folks met at the Aragon? There's a lot going on right now.
Yeah, they
met at
the Aragon.
We got a break, so I want to hear the story of Esmeralda's parents.
At the Aragon.
Yeah.
That's amazing. All
right. We'll take bets on what the concert was.
They were at an Alkaline Trio concert. They're in the mosh pit. Their eyes met. No.
That's okay. We're going to get the story here for real. It's coming up after 2:30. And Sam Silverstein, we're going to learn about accountability. We're going to learn about how to be better. That's in the 3 o'clock hour, 720 WGN. 720 WGN, good morning. 2:35, Mark Harmon in for Nick DiGilio this morning. Also in for Brian Noonan, who's starring in something somewhere on the TV landscape. Great to be with you. 312-981-7200. We've been talking about dating and marriages, and Esmeralda's parents met at the Aragon. Their eyes met in a mosh pit. Is that right?
Yeah. So they used to have dances there all the time.
Uh-huh.
And that's how my parents met. My mom got dragged over there by a friend of hers, and then her friend left with some other dude and left my mom stranded, and then my dad offered to give her a ride.
Aw.
And then they started meeting. And then it took a few years, because then my mom went back to Mexico, and then she came back, and he was still, like, he'd call her all the time. And
that's love right there. Waiting.
Yeah, he was very persistent.
Go, Dad. Is that why you respect him so much, his persistency?
Yeah. And I was telling Dan, I have, there's a picture of them when they first met that night.
Aw.
Because there's always like photographers. They essentially still, if you go to Logan Square, there's people doing it. They still take Polaroids of you.
See, this is,
So I have a shot of them that first night.
See, this is where I think, like, back in the day it was better. There's something about the way we connect now with, I don't know, social media, dating apps. There's just the organicness of an Esmeralda's parents meeting at the Aragon and a ride home. That just seems a lot more beautiful.
Although I'm thinking, like, why are you taking rides from strangers?
Because she saw something that she liked, Esmeralda.
It's like, that's a stranger. She would have yelled at me if I had done that.
And Dan's grandparents, what happened? They were, a ring fell in a...
They were on a dance floor, and my grandma's ring fell off, and he put it back on her and said, with this ring, I thee wed.
That's just amazing. And there they go.
Yep.
And now look at you, Dan.
Yep.
My parents met in Elkhart Lake, Wisconsin. That's where I'm trying to say. Little summer getaway. Next thing you know, good old Fred and Gladys. Things maybe, perhaps, got advanced a little quicker than they expected, but these things happen. And then a mistake like myself came out 25, 40 years later. I was late in the game in the old Carmen family.